right. I wanted to mention, first of all, that if you weren't here for previous classes, you can get the outlines from them. Just ask afterwards, and we have those. And
and if you didn't hear them, they've been recording them as well.
Right, right, exactly. Okay. Why don't we open in prayer? Paul, would you open us in prayer?
Certainly. Father, we thank you that you did answer the request of the apostles, that Jesus would teach them to pray, and I pray that you would help us to pay attention and learn more about how we should pray to you. And I just pray that you'd give us wisdom in this and give us the desire to pray to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Well, as has been our custom, we'll start with the assignment from last week. And the assignment was a little vague. It didn't be more specific this time. But the assignment last time, when you approach God in prayer, consider the impact of His decrees on your life, your coming to faith, your daily sanctification, your ultimate eternal destiny. Meditate on scriptures noted in this class, teaching God's decrees. Do you gain any new insights? Focus on prayer this week that aligns with God's known decrees. So how did you do on the assignment? Anything you want to share on that before we get into today's material?
I found that it was difficult for me to define God's decrees according to my will, not His.
Okay, sure. Okay.
And my thought process is human. It's not
right.
And so it's difficult because I think my thoughts, not God's thoughts. So my will sometimes probably overshadows His will.
That's the whole sanctification process, you know. I mean, the whole idea of being transformed, conformed to His image. It's a thing that goes on over time. So, see, Brett, you had something.
I got a 30-minute drive to work in the morning, so that's been my time to try it. And the first 2 days, I was totally distracted and caught up in the doctrine as you go there, and I was fighting over. I was thinking all the friends I had who had gone through this stuff. And then day three, when I finally got that far, it's interesting how when I got there, my mind went to a lot of interceding for people. I'm not sure how it got there, but that's just where it got.
Good. That's interesting. Okay. You know, there was an illustration last time that I know this subject of God's decrees is really complicated theologically and everything. And there's one illustration that I think really makes it simple. And that is, if you look at a building, like say you stand out in the parking lot and you look at this building, you look at it and you say, there was a definite plan for this building. This building didn't just happen. You know, somebody figured out all of the details of this building and what it would be. And looking at the finished product is how you determine that there was a plan, you know, for it. And God's decrees are basically the same way. We look at a finished product and we say there was a plan. This didn't just happen. Okay, so that's been helpful to me. Okay, let's go on to today's material. Essentially, what we talked about last week is that. And the reason for last week is you can't really go to this week without last week, because what we're saying is that God's decrees determine and define His will. Okay, so we talk about God's will till the cows come home, but it's God's decrees underlying that, you know, are kind of the predecessor to that. When we talk about praying according to God's will, I just want to tell you, this is a revolutionary concept. And this one concept, if you don't get anything else out of this whole class, other than this one concept, this will dramatically change your prayer life. It's really a pretty simple concept, and we're going to mostly be looking at one verse in the scripture, which was brought up last week, but we'll get into that in a moment. A couple of quotes here from your outline from Philip Yancey. The more we know God, the more we know God's will, the more likely our prayers will align with that will. And from Richard Foster, in prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him, to desire the things he desires, to love the things he loves, to will the things he wills. And that process, which, you know, Art was alluding to a moment ago, is the struggle with this. As you grow in this, this is what happens. You begin more to think God's thoughts, to desire the things he desires, to will the things he wills. And it is a process that goes on. So, overview. Number one, God's will flows from God's decrees. To pray other than according to God's will is a waste of time. Praying according to God's will produces confidence and an answer. Scripture defines what God's will is in many areas of life, and prayer according to God's will generates faith. So let's go into our key passage here, 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Now, your thoughts on this. What does it mean to you to pray according to God's will? What images does that bring to mind?
One image that comes to my mind, that no matter what the circumstance is, that we should look at how that could perhaps bring glory to God, because that's what God is seeking, his own glory.
Okay. See, one of the key things that we struggle with in prayer is, going back to, you know, earlier quotes we've shared, are we trying to bring God's will to ours, or are we trying to bring our will to God's? And again, our theme quote from Kierkegaard on this, the function of prayer is not to influence God, but to change the nature of the one who prays. And so that's, you know, ultimately what we're about. Other thoughts on praying according to God's will? What do you think of when you think of that?
Well, sometimes it's, on a human level, I think it's a crapshoot. You know, it's like, I hope I'm praying in his will, but I don't really know.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to determine today how to know. Okay, so we're going to solve that problem.
If you're also going to solve that problem, I'll be really excited.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for, to solve problems.
Yeah.
And influence people.
Of course, I've been saying to you that I bring the questions and you bring the answers.
Oh.
So we'll see. Okay, three interpretations, I'll call them, to praying according to God's will. Three ways that people see this, okay? The first is just pray, hoping is the word that goes in the blank. They're hoping it is his will. Or maybe we should change this to use Rob's terminology, at the crapshoot approach. Hoping it is his will. Okay, the second approach is, at the end of your petition, tack on the phrase, fill in the blank, if it be your will. Okay, that's another very common approach that people use when they think about praying according to God's will. And the third, determine first what is God's will. So, just pray, hoping it is his will. At the end of your petition, tack on, if it be your will, or determine first what is God's will. Now, according to the passage, back to 1 John 5:14 and 15, what happens first when we pray according to his will. What's the passage say?
Hears us.
Before that?
Confidence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're praying something you absolutely know is God's will, is it logical that that's going to give you confidence in praying? Versus the crapshoot approach of, maybe it's God's will, maybe it is, I don't know, but we'll hope for the best. Okay, so confidence, that's where the passage starts out. And the idea, we want to have confidence when we pray. Otherwise, it's very demotivating. But if you have confidence in what you're praying, in other words, confidence because it's, God's will, that changes your prayer life a whole lot. If you're praying a bunch of things and you really don't, is this God's will, is this not God's will, I don't know, but hope so, that doesn't really motivate you to pray very much, or at least to be satisfied or excited about prayer. But if you can have confidence, wow, that puts you in a whole different realm. Now, then the next part of the passage from 1 John hears us. Okay, what does it mean that he hears us? I mean, doesn't God hear everything, being omniscient? So what's it mean that he hears us?
This is more like when you think of a ruler or a king and getting a hearing before the king is a whole different, has specific meaning.
A hearing before the king. Okay, that's a good picture. Other thoughts on God hears us?
He hears us as one of his children.
Okay, hears us as one of his children. We have a relationship, in other words, with him. So,
would like to kind of mutate that around to acknowledges. Acknowledges our prayer.
Okay.
Blind man made a comment. God does not hear the prayers of sinners.
Right. Okay, good reference from John chapter 9. Let's go get some scriptures. That's usually a good place to find the answer to these questions. So turn over to Psalm 61, verse 1. And if someone would read 61:1.
Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer.
Okay, hear my cry. Okay, what is hearing my cry? Listening to my prayer. Okay, so there's a communication line open here. Okay, flip back to Psalm 55, verse 1, and somebody read that.
Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from from my plea for mercy.
Okay. Hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. So the hearing is in reference to a plea, to a request, a petition that's been made. And then let's do one more. Psalm 4, verse 1. Somebody read that one.
Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
Okay, so we've got hear my prayer at the end, at the beginning, answer me when I call. So the idea here is that God hearing my prayer, that is anticipating a favorable outcome, that God is answering. It's not just that he's saying something down there. God hears everything in the sense of his omniscience, but the hearing of prayer is incorporated with the idea of answering, with a favorable answer that's going on. So just wanted to, clarify, that area. Okay, next, what's the significance of, again, back to 1 John 5, 14 to 15, of knowing we have the requests? Okay, so and this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if we know that he hears us. Okay, so what's the significance of knowing we have the request?
We have the answer. We have the answer. Okay, he grants that prayer.
Okay, we have the answer.
In his own time, not ours.
In the original language, it's a pretty strong emphasis that it's not willy-nilly, hearsay, or, well, if it is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying this, that if you really trust me, you really know my will, he says, you can know with all confidence, with all assurance.
Okay. So based upon the Greek word for know?
Yes.
Okay. And is this gnosko or what?
Yeah, it's gnosko.
Yeah.
I'm looking here. I got to look at it again real quick.
I'm putting you on the spot here, our Greek scholar. So.
It's what they call a hina clause. It's a subjunctive, which means that if you're looking at something, it's a strong probability. Okay. In other words, he's saying that God's really listening.
Okay.
So you have that confidence. And if you've read the whole letter of 1 John and understand what he's getting across, you can pretty well know that he hears what you say.
What does this knowing do to your faith as you're praying?
For me, it doesn't. The knowing doesn't do much, but the faith is what gives me the knowing. It's the other way around, mm-hmm. in my mind. It's knowing God in the sense of an intimate relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
and that intimate relationship gives you a faith,
mm-hmm.
and gives you faith through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps you understand God's faithfulness, and that mm-hmm. makes the knowing certain. That's what makes the knowing certain. The knowing really comes from believing God is faithful.
But the knowing and the progression here, it talks about God's will.
Right, but it's first the intimate relationship, and
mm-hmm.
it starts with that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
yeah,
you could be praying to that rock out there.
Right. Right.
And
yeah. If there's not the relationship, you don't. None of this works.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Richard.
Bonnie, I made a mistake. It's the other word, not gnosko, but it's aditi, and
okay,
which is even better yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. If you've heard that expression, Bonnie, this is nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. Seems to fit right here. Is that God cares and you care to know Him?
Yeah.
Establishes that relationship. So
yeah.
To know is like you said, a relationship knowing, not an intellectual knowing, because that
right.
never seems to do me any good.
Right.
You can know the right thing, that doesn't mean you're going to do it.
Okay, look at the passage. Just want to keep beating up on this passage. The progression here. Confidence. Ask anything, He hears us. If we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the request we've asked from Him. So, okay, confidence, ask anything according to His will. You do that, He hears us, we know we have the request. So, you can generate a lot of faith, in this process, as compared to when you're praying something that you don't have any idea if it's God's will. So if you have something you absolutely know is God's will, it changes the whole dynamic in terms of how you're going to experience this. So other thoughts on this? Yeah, Kathy?
My question would be, a lot of times the prayers that we pray are prayers that have been asked, that people have asked us to pray.
Okay.
Like
intercession.
Yeah, they're going in for surgery
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what God's will is for that surgery.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can
exactly.
pray for the surgeon, and I can
mm-hmm.
pray for, that God will wrap His arms of love around the person going in. But, I'm one of those, I don't tack it on at the end,
yeah.
but I tack it on at the beginning.
Yeah.
Lord, if it would be according to thy will,
yeah.
and if it would give you great glory, so-and-so is going into the hospital or
mm-hmm.
into surgery.
Well, we'll talk about that. I'll answer that a little bit. We'll talk about that more in our class where we deal with intercession. But you have to, the prayer requests you get in terms of intercession, you have to kind of run them through a filter, basically, to decide, okay, how can I pray about this particular need? And that may be just asking the question as to what God's will is in the situation, rather than presuming you know what God's will is. If you don't know what God's will is, ask him what his will is. And then also look, the one thing you can always do is look at the character of God. Most of the time on those kind of prayer requests, I am just praying, for a believer, I'm just praying for God's mercy, to be manifested, because that's who God is. That's what God is like. And he desires, we know, from Scripture, he desires to show his mercy. So appealing to God based upon his mercy, his love, his grace, his, whatever attribute, it's pretty much always going to be fair game, because you're just building your prayer around who God is, rather than that specific need. But you're raising a very good point, and we're going to talk about it more in the intercession section, that a lot of the things that we may be asked to pray for may not be legitimate requests, or not legitimate requests as stated, but they're, you have to dig around a little bit to figure out what's really legitimate to pray within that. And so, good point, but more later on that.
But always, like you say, that somehow through that situation that God's word would go forth, the gospel would go forth,
exactly,
and that God would be glorified. I think of
exactly
Shelley's sister, Brenda.
Yeah.
And we've been praying for her, for mercy, for healing, God's grace. And yet,
right,
in the midst of it, she has had such testimony to all
right
those around her.
Exactly.
And
you can
not everybody will have that same testimony that
right
she has, but we could pray that everybody...
And we have, biblical basis. Paul asked the believers to pray for him, that he would have open doors, that he would have, that his message would be clear, and things like that. So we have clear biblical basis for many of these things. But honestly, we just get lazy in prayer. Instead of searching out the Scripture and saying, okay, so what would be the basis for praying here, and to think about it and to study the Scripture and say, okay, what are the promises of God that relate to this? What's the character of God that relates to this? Da-da-da-da-da. We just, spout something out. And it's a whole lot better if we take the time to really ponder what we know about God's promises and character relative to that situation. And then we get blessed, from that.
Yeah.
In that process. So.
Well, there's some things we do know about suffering in Scripture. And one expression I hear a lot in our particular denomination is that they would suffer well. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you've experienced it, even in this church, from testimonies I've heard. You go in to minister to them, and there's a little passage in starts 2 Corinthians that one of the purposes for suffering is that we comfort others with the same comfort we receive from the Lord.
Right.
So when you go in to minister to somebody, it's happens so often, they end up ministering to us because because suffering is that school of Christ that brings, unfortunately, we have to experience in order to get closer to him.
Yeah.
So it depends, there is a purpose in suffering. One purpose we know, and it's to make us look more like Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't always like it, but God gives us those things that are actually good for us, whether we like it or not, just as a parent with a small child.
See, this is the profound promise of Romans 8:28. If you are called and, love God, basically what that passage is saying is there isn't anything that can happen to you that's not going to be good. And if you are not called and you don't love God, there isn't anything that can happen to you that will be ultimately good. It can be proximately good, but it won't be ultimately good. And likewise with us, we can have things that are proximately bad, but they are guaranteed to be ultimately good. And that's an amazing concept.
Ultimate versus the proximate, with Christ or the Lord always being holy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, being conformed to his image is the next
yeah.
verse. And that's
right.
That's
the goal. That's the
yeah.
goal, isn't it? Yeah. So, and everything is heading there for those who are called, love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, it's an amazing promise. Yeah, Richard.
Yeah, but read something out of Hebrews 12.
Yeah.
It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah.
Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose
yeah.
heart in your struggle against sin.
No.
You have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood.
Yeah.
And there's more.
Right. Yeah, it's great, great passage. Okay, now, how would, number six here, on page one, how would you distinguish between praying and wishing? Okay, what's the difference between praying and wishing? I kind of made that a big theme in the book, so.
Praying is God-centered, wishing is self-centered.
Okay. Okay. So there's a lot of things we wish, and good things, you know. I mean, you know, on Wednesday, I mean, Nancy and I are going to drive up into the White Mountains, okay? Now, I might wish for a safe trip. Do I know that it's God's will that absolutely nothing happens? No. No. I do know a lot of things that are God's will, but I don't know about that, you know, specifically. So wishing, praying, an awful lot of what goes on in the name of Christian prayer is wishing. It's a sentiment that good things are going to happen, okay, versus I absolutely know this is God's will in this situation.
Seems to me that the difference to a certain extent is compartmentalizing, which we're really good at. And that is, we can compartmentalize that trip
mm-hmm.
and wish for a great time. But as soon as we compartmentalize it, we take it out of the context of our lives and the lives of others.
And God's overall plan. Yeah.
And God's plan.
Yeah, yeah. We all know people that have had bad things, quote unquote, bad things happen to them that have been used in wonderful ways in terms of ministering to others, of changing their lives, of, you know, all kinds of things. So again, we're back to Romans 8:28. So, yeah, Kathy.
One of the prayers that people pray a lot is for journey mercies.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a wish.
Yeah.
I think it's really asking God to put his angels around the people and the vehicles and give them journey mercies.
But the question is there a biblical basis for that?
How he answers it.
Yes, and depends, you know. And we'll talk about that when we get to the petition section, because that is one of the main petition areas. Yeah.
That mercies go both ways. It could be the story of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, yeah.
You pray for journey mercies.
Right.
This journey mercies word.
Was the Good Samaritan.
We're given. No,
right.
I mean the Samaritans.
The guy.
The Samaritan's mercies.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. Mercies. Okay, let me move on here to a radical idea. Okay, page two. Okay, now here's the radical idea. Here's the real nugget from today. And that's essentially, how would your prayer life change if you, I won't even say only prayed, I'll say if you mostly prayed for things you know to be God's will, how would that change your prayer life?
Spend more time in the Bible first.
Spend more time in the Bible first, yeah. Okay, that would be good. That would be good. Are there other thoughts?
I think you'd listen to what the Holy Spirit, you know, in that first lesson you talked about listening.
Yeah.
And I have found in my life, if I shut up and listen, I'm a lot better off than just blundering ahead and babbling in my prayer.
Two ears, one mouth. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now Martin Luther, his quote relative to praying God's will: Lord, I will have my will of thee at this time. I will have my will, for I know that my will is thy will.
Almost sounds like arrogance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only the heart of the prayer.
How did he know it was God's will?
He was praying God's word.
Okay. From the word, from the illumination of the Holy Spirit, from, you know, whatever. But like a lot of Martin Luther's quotes are very brash and, you know, what have you. And yet, it really gets to the thought here. If you, that's a very confident quote. Now, if you know that something's God's will, that really, you know, makes you confident. And that's what's, you know, expressed in the prayer, and it's all of its brashness.
I hope I'm not getting into the future chapter, but, you know.
Well, that's, a, that's okay.
It pops up in my head is that injunction, because it convicted me many times. It says, you don't have because you don't ask. Is how many times I don't ask, and yet I expected God to answer without my asking.
Yeah.
And I don't know the mystery of why he wants me to ask other
right.
to conform me.
Well, one of the principles that I teach people is, you know, petition less, listen more, petition less, meditate more, praise more. Now, by petitioning less, it doesn't mean we don't petition, because, you know, it's very clear in Scripture that we are commanded to ask. We are commanded to pray for things. But if we're spending 95% of our time doing that, then we've kind of got it out of bounds. Okay, I want to look at four ways to know God's will before praying. So what we're saying is you can dramatically transform your prayer life if you're primarily praying for things you actually know are God's will. Okay, so then that begs the question, okay, so how do we know what's God's will? Okay, number one, filling in the blank here, specific passages. There are only three passages in the New Testament where it says, this is God's will. Okay, so those three are pretty safe. Okay, so let's take a look at those. Let me read the first one here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 7, which says, for this is the will of God. Okay, no doubt here. Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. Okay, so, specific passage, this is God's will. Okay, your sanctification. So, can you pray about your sanctification and absolutely know you're praying God's will?
Absolutely.
Anything in the whole realm of what sanctification would mean. Now, interestingly enough, the second one is also in 1 Thessalonians. And if somebody would read 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, very familiar passage.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Okay. Now, you know, I used to always focus on that the giving thanks is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And then the more I looked at this, I thought, well, he's talking about the whole package here. It's not just the giving thanks. It's rejoicing, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. Can you absolutely know that's God's will for you to do? Okay, so if you're praying, if you're rejoicing, if you're praying without ceasing regarding something, if you're giving thanks for something, you can absolutely know this is God's will. I can be confident. I know God's hearing me. I know God's going to answer. Da-da-da-da-da. So, okay, the third one, not as familiar a passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17. This one actually concerns church leadership. So 1 Peter 2, 13 to 17. If somebody would read that one.
Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor.
Okay, a whole bunch of specifics within that, and but it says, you know, again, uses the exact words, this is the will of God. So we've got these three that we can be absolutely confident in when we're praying along these lines, that we're praying God's will, and therefore the promise of 1 John 5:14 and 15 is going to apply. He hears us, we know he answers, da 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 da. Okay, now, that's only three things, so we need to expand beyond this to have a bigger understanding of what God's will is when we pray. So the second thing, that was specific passages. Number two is general statements. General statements. Okay, so here, let's look at Ephesians. You turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And the first three verses, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one, through the first three verses. It's hard to stop in Ephesians. Okay, so we have some general statements here. Is Paul describing things that are definitely the will of God?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the will of God that we walk in a manner worthy. It's the will of God that we walk in humility and gentleness with patience, that we bear with one another in love, that we maintain the unity of the Spirit, and so on. So we have a whole bunch of things here that we know are the will of God. And so if we're praying those, we know. We know he's hearing. We know he will answer.
One of the things, too, that I think is so important is that when we come, prayer is an act of worship. So when we come to worship, we need to have a pure heart. In fact, that psalm says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I think that that's so important that we make sure that when we come to prayer or when we start our prayers, that we have all of the things mentioned here in Ephesians.
Good point. Okay, the Colossians 1:9 through 12, I'll let you look that up, and I'm going to move on here before we run out of time. Okay, number three way to know God's will before praying, and the blank is prayers in Scripture. Now, in a later class, we're going to look at three specific prayers, or really at four, three different people, Hannah, Daniel, and Paul. There's a chapter in the book on this. But when we look at prayers in Scripture that are part of the inspired Word of God, then again, we see ways of praying, things to pray about that are God's will. And so we'll talk more about that later. Number four would be impressions of the Holy Spirit. Okay, impressions of the Holy Spirit. So John 16:13 says the Spirit was given to guide you into all truth. So in the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit, you know, guide us, show us things, confirm things that are God's will? Yeah. However, deception is a danger at this point. Many, many people, many Christians have concluded something was God's will, and they were often goony-goony land, you know, on that. So the key thing here is it is valid to have impressions by the Holy Spirit, but those impressions need to be confirmed in Scripture to know that you're not off in a tangent, you know, somewhere. So, and we could all tell our stories about people ourselves or about people we've known that have done this or that or the other thing. The people that, you know, the Holy Spirit's led me to leave my wife, the Holy Spirit's led me to commit adultery, da 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 da, you know, all kinds of things that you clearly look in Scripture and find out, no, that wasn't the Holy Spirit, you know, leading it. So, be careful, you know, on that one. It's legitimate, but be careful. Okay, generating faith. Okay, Jesus taught that believing prayer is answered. Let's look up a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 21:22 and Mark 11:24. If somebody would read Matthew 21:22.
And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.
Okay. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. And then does somebody have Mark 11:24?
Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you.
Okay. So basic teaching here, believing prayer is answered. Okay. So how do you get to believing prayer? Now, compare two possible prayer requests. I said number two here. Okay, first, you know that it's God's will. Second, that you hope it would happen. Okay, so with which prayer are you going to have more faith? With which prayer are you going to be more, quote-unquote, believing? A or B?
Hey.
Okay, hey, thank you. Okay, so this is the thing. Now, here's the distinction on this. See, a lot of people look at Matthew 21:22, Mark 11:24, especially if they're like in a word faith, you know, type teaching. Okay, I got to gin up this faith. I got to, you know, try harder, believe, you know, and if something doesn't happen, you know, you get blamed for it. Oh, you just didn't have enough faith, you know, type of thing. That isn't the point here at all. The point is, the basis for having faith is going back to God's will. If you know it's God's will, that is going to generate faith. You're going to automatically, you know, have faith, you know, relative to that. So other thoughts on this?
When anybody asks you to have faith, first thing I usually ask is in what?
Yeah.
Or in who?
Yeah. More accurate. Faith has an faith is not an end in itself. Faith is a.
It has to have an object.
Yeah, it has to have an object, and so that's the great error of that particular aberration in theology, you know, because it's focusing on faith as kind of an end in itself, as a magic potion or whatever. So, okay. Closing thought here, a quote out of the Valley of Vision, one of the prayers in there. Let me know that the work of prayer is to bring my will to thine, and that without this, it is folly to pray. When I try to bring thy will to mine, it is to command Christ to be above him and wiser than he. This is my sin and pride. And I couldn't summarize it any better than that, so... that's what we're looking at. So what we're going to be doing, the question we're going to keep asking as we go through this, is when we look at prayer, when we look at prayer of petition, you know, asking for things, is there a basis? Okay, what is the basis? What is God's will? You know, if we know something's God's will, that's our basis. Otherwise, asking that question, what is the basis? You know, to come before God, you know, with this. And the illustration I'll give probably repeatedly through the class is you go into a courtroom representing yourself, as I have done on one occasion, and you stand before the judge, and you better have a basis for whatever you're saying. Okay? You don't just go in and, I wish this would happen. You have a basis for it. And that's the plea, and actually, the word prayer is a legal term. That is a legal word. You can look it up in the law dictionary as to a prayer, and referring to a plea, a request you're making, you know, before the judge. And so, you need to know where you stand, okay, and making it. Okay, now, assignment. For the next week, limit your prayers to things you know are God's will. Now, that's going to require some work because you're going to have to look in the Bible and try to figure out and the character of God and what have you. And, okay, what would be the basis? How would I know this is God's will? So observe how that affects your confidence in prayer and your faith in an affirmative answer. Report your experience at the next class. And then read through Ephesians and Colossians, noting from Paul's prayers things that are God's will. Then pray these for yourself and other believers. Okay, a couple other things before we close in prayer. If you don't have the book, my book, Radical Prayer, those are available. Nancy and Leah can take care of that. Also have a couple of copies of two of my other Christian books, Body, Mind, and Health. And particularly I highlight Face to Face. This is about how to get alone with God in terms of personal retreats. If there's one thing you can do, in fact, I would say almost everything I learned in terms of writing this book and putting this material together came from personal retreats. And so, you know, that's where it all came from. And so, anyway, the book's normally $14.99. It's $10, like the other two. And I do recommend that. And then also, one more thing, as I mentioned, the first class, you can get one of these cards on my Historic Faith blog. This is a thing where we talk about theological issues from a Reformed theology perspective. And right now, writing a series of articles on the book of Revelation, not exposition stuff like we're doing on Friday morning in the men's Bible study, but more kind of ways of interpreting and, you know, just how keys to doing that. So some other insights there. Okay, next week, we'll be talking about, I think, probably the most misunderstood and neglected area of prayer, and that is praise. What that is and what that means. Chapter 4 in prayer. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is great to have this time to share these thoughts, to seek you, to seek deepening our understanding of prayer, and to pray according to your will. And as we look in Colossians, we see a bunch of things that are your will. And Lord, we pray those for ourselves, for our body at this time. We pray that you would give us spiritual wisdom and understanding, especially as it relates to this area we're studying. We pray that we would walk in a manner worthy, fully pleasing to you, that we would bear fruit in good works, that we would increase in our knowledge of God, that we would be strengthened with power for endurance and patience with joy. These things are your will. We pray them, confident that you hear us and that you will answer these requests. In Christ's name we come to you. Amen.